Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
This has been a fantastic week for myself. On Tuesday, joining the pastoral team here at Living Waters. So thankful for the high caliber and capable people that serve this congregation. And the honor I've had this week to join them and how welcoming they were. It was just a very good week for us. If you're newer to Living Waters, you may not be too aware of the journey that Living Waters has been on through 2017. Pastor Doug Smith, a pastor who pastored here with excellence for a decade beyond or number of years, resigned, and it did back in the end of May, which again led the church towards a discernment process, of which ended on October the 15th, where I was invited to become the lead pastor. And what a great day that was for us. It just seems like October 15th was such a long time ago. All that, and then this gap, and here we are today. But I appreciated the council and the team here allowing us to finish responsibilities in the fall, and so to begin a new year today is so easy for us, and so full of anticipation and excitement. I'd like us, however, just before we consider God's word, I'd like us to take a moment to show our appreciation to the team here at Living Waters for the great work, the heavy lifting that they did through the year of 2017. They were a team that didn't just keep things organized, which is important, but actually were very strategic and very well planned and very well organized through the year, and didn't maintain, but actually moved things along very, very well and very, very fruitfully, so that now as we begin a new year, we're so well placed. So I'd like you to show your appreciation to the team here at Living Waters for the good work of 2017. Can we do that? Thank you so much. Luke and others are doing this, so I don't know if he's saying hail to the king. I don't know what he's doing there, but I'm not that, okay? As I look around this room, I see wonderful people, and I look forward in the days ahead. There's so many here that we don't know. Julie and Lauren are back over here, and we look forward to getting to know you. You have a story, and we have a story. I'd love to hear your story, and let's look together. I'm so excited about this new year. And all that God has in his mind for us. I'm not sure, Luke, I'm sure you mentioned about the Philemon series. Our teaching team is well organizing ourselves for the next 3 weeks of January. It's going to be a great series. This morning, as I was giving some thought to this, I thought that there would be nothing more appropriate than for my first duty, if you would, as with you, would be to discuss and invite you to come with me to the communion table. I think as I have considerations even for the future, I don't know of anything that is more beautiful and more important than to invite people to the communion table. So I want to begin there on this first Sunday of the new year and our first Sunday and a Sunday of firsts. And to reference that, I want to take us to the passage of Scripture in the Gospels where it was the first. And in Luke chapter 22, we see where Jesus gives the first invitation of its kind and had prepared a meal, the first of its kind. And it was nice to see people accept the invitation. And it's an invitation that people have been accepting ever since. And we need to accept here this morning. Let me read from Luke. Luke was there at that meal, and he did careful work to help us know and remember this significant meal. And let's hear from him today. When the time came, Jesus and the apostles sat down together at the table. Jesus said, I have been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. For I tell you now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. Then he said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I will not drink wine again until the kingdom of God has come. He took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And after supper, he took another cup of wine and said, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. Let's go to this first meal together. Verse 14 says, when the time had come, unusual wording, it gets our attention. Something was going on. It was the hour. It was the time. It was the moment in history, and it is to be noted. The text says they sat down together at the table. They sat down together. I've sat at many family tables over the years, as you have, and family tables are great social experiences, right? Sitting at my family table growing up, it was a place, as I look back, mom and dad, my sister, older sister, it was a place where I learned manners, I learned how to set a table, and it was kind of like back, kind of a serious table, actually, when you think about our conversations. As I ventured out as a young guy and I visited my friends' tables, I realized that not every family functions the same and not every family dynamic. It's a family values are seen at the table and family behaviors and what is humorous and what's not humorous and what people laugh about and joke about, people cry about. We learn that at the table. I was recently at a family table with somebody. Mom, dad, young girl, older brother, and the young girl sitting beside me, her seat of choice. And I was eating my porridge, and the young girl looked up at me with a smile on her face, and she asked me to marry her. Like, and it was actually very disappointed to know that I was already married. I don't know. The family table, they're all different. And as these disciples sat down together at the table, there were a number of things that surfaced that created atmosphere and dynamic. And instantly, Jesus was wanting to establish values, principles, and priorities that we need to still pay attention to, because as they were called together to the table, this word together talks about deeper relationship. It talks about each other. It talks about association, and it's a calling to live in agreement with one another, to be together at the table. And friends, that is why it would be my privilege this morning as a Sunday of First to call you to a table of agreement, to a table of association, to be together. Some of the famous pictures of the Lord's table, and there's a few of them out there. They often depict Jesus at a long table. You've seen them. He's sitting in the middle, right? And disciples on the right, disciples on the left, and that's the idea. My mind doesn't create that picture of that first table for a few reasons. What Jesus was calling these people together to was a table to be seen and to see. So I picture a bit more of a round table. So whether it's wide or whether it's round, what Jesus was calling these people to do as they were to sitting down together was to see each other and to be seen. It's called relationship. It's called community. Then in verse 15, as the table is set and they're sitting and the meal is getting organized, Jesus pipes up as the host and says, I have eagerly desired to share this meal with you. And Luke makes note of us hearing that. Because obviously, when words are shared like that, there is something that Jesus had on his mind. There is something that Jesus had prepared that he wanted to have these guests at his table experience. we would know the subsequent events of this table. Jesus would be arrested. He would be tried, sentenced, and experience the death penalty. So as Jesus was gathering, I'm sure it was with future events in his mind. But this table was not so much about a last meal or a saying goodbye meal. It was rather a meal where there would be, it was the last of the way the meal would be prepared and served, and it was the beginning. It was the first meal of a new order. It was the first meal of a new covenant. It was the beginning of the beginning. It was its first of a kind, this meal that was prepped, prepared, and these followers of Jesus were sitting together around. Jesus eagerly desires to share. And it's still the same today. We enjoy having guests around our table, as dysfunctional as we are. When a date is set, then the menu gets discussed. And my wife is a fantastic cook. And yeah, I'm bragging right now. You're not supposed to brag from the pulpit, but I'm bragging right now. It's fun to watch all the cookbooks come out, and all of a sudden, all the options. I usually think barbecue. All the cookbooks come out, and there's a whole fun discovery of considering people at your table and what meal you will serve. It's a great experience. But what I've noticed about our home is once the date is set and the menu is set, the table gets set. And admitting, usually the table gets set early at our home for guests. It happened at Christmas. Odd, perhaps. We were anticipating a family of five, so we set a table of 10, and it actually got set 2 days early. Table's all set. There's the cutlery. It's just sitting there. There's no one sitting at the table, but it's just set waiting for people to come. Everything but the candles were lit, you know. We're waiting. We're eagerly desiring people to come. Maybe we need more friends. I don't know. But we were like, you know, we're anxious for people to come. We're all nervous. I kind of think Jesus in that room was communicating something of that nature because Luke picked up on it. This guy is eagerly desiring to share this with us. The word share is interesting because it refers to sharing. What Jesus had, he was interested in sharing. And then as we follow the steps, Jesus served a common cup and a common loaf, which would require other people at the table to share from the same plate, if you would. The common table, the common cup. Jesus serves a common loaf and a common cup, knowing that Jesus had planned this meal well in advance of the sitting. I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled. Jesus is saying, "This, the menu items are enough. We don't need to add to the menu. What I'm serving you today in its symbolism is enough. The broken body. Do we know what it means? The bread representing the broken body of Jesus. There is a wage that needs to be settled because of sin. And that table is set with that in mind. The bread, the broken body of Jesus, us partaking in it is our means to having our debt paid. And I'm really glad that Jesus did that for me. The cup. What is it? What's the cup? The cup is it's a symbol. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And you see that thread run through the whole scriptures. And here Jesus, as we know, perhaps, on the cross, did allow for his blood to be shed, which allows for the forgiveness of my sins. And I'm so glad that that is being served at the table. A person's belief and the sharing of these emblems position each of us to personally benefit from the blessing of the new covenant that Jesus came to introduce. So Jesus passes a common loaf and a common cup, and he invites us to eat. This invitation to come and eat is to come to a table that quenches a thirst and satisfies a hunger. And that, friends, is the good news of the gospel, right? The good news of the gospel. That Jesus moved into our neighborhood. He came to earth as the Son of God. And he moved into our neighborhood, into the midst of our need, identifying with our interest, living, dying, and rising again, giving us an invitation to know him and know a fullness of life on earth and for all eternity. That's the gospel. That's the good news. It's what the gospel is all about. Receiving personal care, receiving personal help, and it's receiving the rights and privileges of salvation. And I'm excited to be able, on this first Sunday, to invite you to this very, very generous table called the Lord's Table. I'm going to invite our worship team to the platform again. Talking about my first family. Growing up, my mom would always yell prior to the meal and say, maybe you remember this, go wash up and then come to the table. Any moms? It doesn't work, mom. No one ever does that. I never did that. But my mom kept saying, go wash up and then come to the table. In Luke chapter 22, Jesus never said, go wash up and then come to my table. Because that is completely what the gospel is not about. The gospel in this table is a table that we come to so we can get clean and so we can be cleansed, right? We come to the table as we are. And we come to the table to experience each other in our humanity. We come to this table to experience our need of a Savior together. And this creates a bond of humility and a bond of togetherness and a bond of association that is absolutely binding to come to the table together as needy people. Someone else that was at that first table was John. And I've been always very surprised why men like Matthew and Mark and Luke don't remind us of what John did as it relates to what happens after the meal is served. John's the only gospel writer that does it. And in John chapter 13... we see John make reference to what happened after the meal was served. And he tells the story, which I, in my mind, think it's a huge part of the story. It says that after the meal was served, Jesus got up from the table and he took off his outer garment to create a towel. And one by one, he walked around. I don't know how they positioned themselves, but one by one, he went around and he paid personal attention to everyone at the table. He touched them, he talked to them, perhaps he looked them in the eye, and he told them things that they needed to hear personally. What's important to me about that act of Jesus is that while this table can have a universal invitation for whosoever, this table also is prepared in a way that Jesus takes a table, a towel, and one by one, ministers to us by name and according to our greatest need, and ministers to our whole person. The emblems represent the needs of our spiritual lives and nature, but the towel represents Jesus' interest in our whole being, practically, physically, emotionally, socially, and sacredly. The gospel is about wholeness. The gospel is about caring for the whole person. So this morning, I want to invite you to stand. And I want to invite you to this table. And I want us to come today, not because of who we are, but because of who is inviting us. We come to the table because of who invites us. All those in this room who are having good days, and all those in the room that are having really bad days. We come to the table today. We call to the table those in this room who are full of faith and those who are doubting. We call to the table today those who feel comfortable with the answers they have and those whose minds are full of doubt today. Those who feel strong, those who feel weak, those who feel clean, those who feel dirty. There is a place at this table for you. And on this first Sunday, I want you to come to the family table and receive what the Lord has for you. Every church community serves communion a little differently at Living Waters. We ask you to get involved. And at the front of this room, you may perhaps can see that there are two serving stations. And we ask participants to come and grab the emblems and return to their seats. And we'll eat together in a few moments. But it creates a time for us to consider each other as we wait upon each other to receive. And I like that. And as we hold these emblems, I trust that your Lord and your Savior would minister to you and you would sense his personal care and attention that he's giving you today. So worship team, lead us, and we will come to the table together before further comment. Thank you. There are certain tables that I've been to that haven't gone well. Ever been to someone's place and you just get there and you're going, you know, as soon as you walk in, you're going, oh, this is going to be a long night. It's just me. And you go, oh. Or maybe, you know, someone's in your house and you're going, oh, how can we get them out, you know? That's my inside voice right there. We just came to the family table. How was it? There are tables that I've been to that when it's over, I can't wait to get back to. Hope they invite me back. I hope that this table that we've come to today is now or certainly becomes for you a table that I just can't wait to get to. Because what I get when I get to that table is something that I can't get anywhere else. Jesus said, when you come to my table, I want you to do so in remembrance of me. In remembrance of me. So he created this idea of placing some emblems in front of people and suggests do it often. Not calling us into religious duty, but rather calling us into a practice that becomes catalytic in us continually remembering our Lord and our Savior and what that means to other relationships, the family table. So I want to encourage you this coming week to remember the Lord. Remember him. Some of you, maybe this coming week, are facing some very difficult things. I want you, in the midst of your darkest hour this week, to remember the Lord. And in those greatest moments of celebration, don't make it about you. Make it about remembering the goodness and grace of the Lord that got you to that place. So Luke chapter 22, Jesus took some bread and he gave thanks to God for it. And I trust that you have done that. He broke it in pieces and he gave it to the disciples saying, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's partake together with thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. After supper, he took another cup of wine and said, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. Let's partake together with thanksgiving of the cup." Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Could we stand together and can you thank the host of the table today? Can you thank the one who prepared the meal today? Just for a few moments, we will close in prayer in a second, but can you just take a moment to thank the host of this service today, the host of the meal? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you with thanksgiving in our hearts. With thanksgiving in our hearts. With thanksgiving in our hearts. With thanksgiving in our hearts, oh God. With thanksgiving in our hearts. With thanksgiving. Let's sing one more song together before we close. There is a great atmosphere of worship in this room today. There's a great sense of the presence of the life and love of Jesus. And that encourages me because Jesus does not dwell in rafters or mortar. He dwells in the hearts and lives of people. So as we sense his presence in this room, it's because he's alive in you. And I'm so excited about that. Thank you for ministering to me as you walk out your faith journey. I'm going to ask you to remain standing. We thought it would be appropriate at the conclusion of this service to remind you of the pastoral team and who is serving on our 2018 pastoral team. And we have a picture. I'm going to invite our team members to come. I know there, some are serving on our Willoughby campus and downstairs and all over the building. Some are on holidays today. But those who are here, I'm going to invite you to come. And I want to just stand with you today to say how much I appreciate those with me on the platform, but those who are also on the screen in front of us. We have a great team. And I thought it would be appropriate to close the service on the other side of the family table to remind you of a commitment that we would make to each other and would make to you, is that in the days ahead, as we began to discuss ministries and evaluate things and talk about multiplication and talk about global work, talk about justice and mercy and all that goes with continuing to form a strategic ministry plan, we promise to remember the Lord as we do that. We do. We will remember the Lord. And knowing that the table that we have just gathered around is a table for everyone. And as we seek to clarify how to make the best invitations to people within our community, whether young or old, we will do so. Remembering the Lord. Yeah, remembering the Lord. So as we dismiss this service, I want to encourage you to be released into a ministry of remembrance and be good news to the people that are you're around this week. Let's pray. Father, today, as we conclude this family service, we do so with thanksgiving. We thank you for this call to remembrance today, to remember you and the good things you've done in the past, to sense your presence here today, and to be invited into a journey of remembering and discovering how we can more creatively and faithfully and fruitfully serve you in the days ahead. I thank you for this team on this platform and those on our picture. We thank you for the privilege of uniting together for good works and good deeds. And pray that as you dismiss all of us to good deeds and good works, that our blessing, your blessing will be upon us. May we live to your glory this week and to the benefit of others. In Jesus' name, amen.